Welcome, friends. Melanie Hurlbut here with Psalm 50, a lawsuit psalm, when Yahweh summons all Israel before him in court. Some religions leave you wondering, how will I fare when I meet my Maker? Will my good deeds outweigh my bad? But not Yahweh. In his mercy, the Lord pronounces judgment ahead of time, so that his people can course correct and realign themselves rightly with God before that final day. After all, before anyone had done anything good or bad, God created people because he loved them. He longs for us to get right with him. Psalm 50 is also the first of 12 Psalms of Asaph featured in the Psalter. Known as both worship leaders and prophets, Asaph's Psalms gather God's people to himself to refocus their hearts and minds on God's steadfast love and faithfulness, and to call them to respond with a covenant faithfulness of their own. Listen as the psalmist calls the courtroom to order as God the judge approaches to enter. Verse 1. The Mighty One, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to where it sets. This triad of names showcases Yahweh as the founding creator of heaven and earth, the high king over all created powers, and the covenant-keeping God of Israel. And notice, God speaks. On his way, he summons the earth, interrupting its normal routine, calling it to join with him in court. What an amazing image. Think about the implications of this for a minute. God entrusted the earth's care to people, and how well humans steward that God-given trust matters deeply to all creation. Paul himself picks up this theme in Romans 8. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed, that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. And so, with creation as accompanying plaintiff, the psalmist calls all to rise as God makes his shattering appearance. Verse 2. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. Notice how Yahweh's presence overwhelms the senses. He shines, radiating beautiful light. He is speaking, not silent, while all around him stands speechless in awe. A fire devours, a tempest rages. The prophets picture God as a consuming fire that swallows up everything ugly, disordered, and dead. While here, a tempest rages, like Mary Poppins' magic tidying up the children's nursery to restore order to creation's wondrously beautiful life. And so, the Lord calls his court to order. Verse 4. He summons the heavens above and the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather to me this consecrated people who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for he is a God of justice. All players take their appointed place. The heavens as court clerk and bailiff, the earth as plaintiff, and last of all, God's covenant people Israel are gathered before the Lord. A murmur of affirmation runs through the court as the heavens resound with the justice of God. Finally, God reads out the charge. Verse 7. Listen, my people. I will testify against you, Israel. I am God, your God. I bring no charges against you concerning your sacrifices or concerning your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. This is a twist. The first thing God does is not to accuse Israel, but to dismiss certain false charges against her. Just what is God doing here? Wasn't the Lord the one who had commanded Israel to bring burnt offerings and sacrifices before him? Aren't they an important part of worshiping God? But the righteous judge goes on. Verse 9. I have no need of a bull or of goats, for every animal is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? And suddenly, it all starts to make sense. Israel's whole understanding of their sacrificial system has gotten distorted. And like pagan worshippers, They've been keeping their religious rituals as if they were the ones feeding and caring for God. Yikes. How twisted is that? But if we're honest, it doesn't take much for us to get things turned around. I remember as a young believer on my first Through the Bible reading plan. I began to feel guilty somewhere in Numbers when I started to get several days behind. Soon, I was pleading with God for forgiveness for not keeping up my end of the bargain. But then, life-giving words shot through my mind. Melanie, the Bible is given for your benefit, not for mine. And I was flooded with foolish relief. God is making this clear. He commanded sacrifices so he could care for them, so that they could come into his life-giving presence and not be destroyed. What God wanted wasn't blood, that's a necessary means, but relationship, the ability for those he created and loves to come into his presence without fear. And so, God corrects his faithful people. Verse 14, sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. What does God delight in from his people? Listen to this amazing list. Thank offerings, gratitude for life, fulfilling vows, faithful, trustworthy words and actions that reflect our faithful God, calling on the Lord, offering trusting prayer to him for help in trouble. And I love this one. He delights in answering his people's prayer with deliverance that causes the whole gratitude and honor cycle to begin again. But, verse 16, to the wicked person, God says, what right have you to recite my laws or to take my covenant on your lips? Now we discover that there are two kinds of Israelite in this courtroom. To the one group, the misguided faithful, God has given instructions on how to turn from empty ritual to live a life that pleases God. But there's another group, the wicked, who don't belong among God's covenant people. To these Israelites, God warns. Verse 17, you hate my instruction. You see a thief and join with him and throw in your lot with adulterers. You use your mouth for evil and harness your tongue to deceit. You sit, testify, and slander your own mother's son. These wicked Israelites give lip service to God's covenant, but disregard his instruction completely. They steal, commit adultery, deceive, accuse, and slander even their brothers. And to make matters worse, the Lord says in verse 21, when you did these things and I kept silent, you thought I, Yahweh, was exactly like you. The wicked Israelites have lost all knowledge of God, claiming Yahweh is as dishonest and twisted as them. And so, God remains silent no longer. I now arraign you and set my accusations before you. Consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with no one to rescue you. Those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me. And to the blameless, I will show my salvation. This is an arraignment, the day in court when the charge is filed. What is God's charge against the wicked? A rejection of everything that delights God, being Israelites in name only, refusing to know him as Lord. Judgment without rescue is the verdict God warns that lies ahead. But this is a psalm of Asaph, a song sung by the congregation because God loves to gather his people to himself, just like Jesus said, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Truly, Yahweh takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. This psalm leaves me sobered. Lord, conform me to your image. May I delight in you. It leaves me warned. Make me a Christian, Lord, through and through. This psalm leaves me praying. A favorite song of casting crowns. Until the whole world hears, Lord, we are calling out, lifting up your name for all to hear the sound. Like voices in the wilderness, we're crying out. And as the day draws near, we'll sing until the whole world hears.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.